Man, how many of y'all enjoyed what the Lord is doing in BJ and Lindsay today, man? What a song, man. That nails it. That nails it. If you don't mind, thank somebody next to you for being here today, will you? Just thank them for being here today. Say, hey, I thank you for being here today. Well, we've all come together. And I want to thank you all for, by the way, for those of you that are, this is your first time through a Hillview year, you just went through our only business meeting. There it is. And, I want you to know if you've been churched up, you'll probably have to de-church yourself for a little bit. We're not into fussing and fighting and arguing and doing all that kind of stupid stuff because we believe that the world really needs to know Jesus Christ. And we're absolutely sold out to the world knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's the bottom agenda. If you want to know my agenda today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not highly going to suggest, I'm going to strongly recommend, absolutely want you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because if your sins aren't forgiven, and if you're not cleansed, and if you don't follow the three moments, the three stages of that song, guess what? Hell awaits you whether you believe it or not. Hell awaits you whether you believe it or not. And so I kind of want to wake us up. God's called us to be people who are salty. So guess what? It's time for us to kind of reevaluate. And if you will, we need to look and say, wait a minute, am I being salt? That's interesting to me. I combed the Bible, brother. I looked in the Bible and I got to thinking to myself, does God ever call us to be sugar? And Sheriff, I got to looking through there, and you know what? God, never one time may you be like sugar. But I'm going to tell you what. I've lived in a church, in a culture that loves sugar. How many of y'all love sugar? Oh, I think about when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we had them little pixie sticks. You know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all remember those little straws in the summertime? And those are just straws full of flavored sugar. That's all that is, flavored sugar. But unfortunately, as if you will, the last four or five decades went on, we decided to be people of sugar instead of God people of salt. And God's called us to be salty. After we look at the attitudes that God's given us, then he tells us, go and be this. So today, I just want to kind of Thanksgiving was getting ready to happen. How many of y'all realize Thanksgiving holidays, this it comes up at the end of this week. If you've forgotten that was free. There might be people coming over to your house and you might be wondering, what are these people doing in my house? They're there to see you on Thanksgiving. Guys, I want to encourage you, embrace your family, your loved ones, your children. Embrace these moments in the holidays and don't get carried away by sugar culture. Isn't it sad that even at Thanksgiving now, that one of the primary things that people think about is going and throwing a tent in a parking lot at some store so they can get $5 off on a TV? Come on, we've lost our everlasting minds. Would you all agree with me? I mean, when we really look at it, I mean, we've just gone loop crazy. You know, hey, if you don't go get in the parking lot and nobody goes and gets in the parking lot, they'll sell it next week for the same price. But watch this. We've sold out our families to get stuff. That's a sugar kind of mentality. I want my stuff is not what God's called us to do. We ought to desire to be in him. And when we get in him, we get a little bit salty. So go with me to the scripture there. After we finish these great attitudes, you got the attitudes locked down, right? Jesus exploded that. Blessed are the poor. How many of y'all on that one? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to go over that again because blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Drives Hillview Heights Church. Drives Hillview Heights Church. You know what that means? I believe anybody in this room can get saved. How many of y'all believe that with me? In Jesus. Jesus could save any. You ought to cheer him on that. That ought to be, thank God! So I want to tell you what pumps me up. Nobody in this room has to go to hell. Jesus has brought a way, a flavor, a salt that will change our lives. Now look what he tells us. He tells us that he gives us a flavor description. Now I don't know about y'all, but Thanksgiving to me is full of flavors. How many of y'all, Thanksgiving is full of flavors? Full of flavors. And so guess what, church? I'm not even going to challenge us just to be salt, but I'm going to challenge us to be salt, it becomes hot sauce. I'm a hot sauce junkie. I love hot sauce. Anybody here love hot sauce? I love Tabasco sauce, the red, the green. I love sauce. I like saucy things. And I'm so salt, saucy aware that I can tell if Elizabeth, I can tell the exact amount of drops of hot sauce that she's put in the chili. Sometimes she gets a little soft. She wants to back it off two or three. She says, somebody else got to eat this too. But you know what? In a real way, for those of us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, he's come into our lives. He saved us of our sin. We've become new people. Do you understand that? We are new people. And we're to put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ and nothing less. If you remember the old hymn, if you grew up in the church, you know, my faith is in Jesus Christ and nothing less. All other ground is sinking. Well, if you look, if you'll really give it an honest look, if you'll listen to the words of my world, the words of the last 40 or 50 years, guess what? Their ground is sinking. And here's what's so funny. Instead of saying, Lord, our ground is sinking, we need your help, they try to justify their sinking ground. You know what justified sinking ground does? Falls. Now, that's the world we live in. Now, God didn't change his mind. Oh, Steve, God didn't change his mind just because we live in a crazy world. How many of y'all realize we're not the first crazy group of people? That this has happened in history before. But we have become very soft. What do you think? I think we're soft. I think we like sugar because sugar's soft. We don't like salt because it bites. It's got some sting. It's got some power. It enhances flavor, doesn't it? So look what God calls us, salt. After he gets through with these attitudes, he says, salt. Let's look for a minute. Why would he do that? Because God has changed your life. How many of y'all, God has changed your life. Jesus has changed your life. Now that you got a changed life, you got a new flavor. You say, well, what in the world are we supposed to be in the world? We're supposed to be here. Look, go with me to verse, let me give you the exact address, 13, chapter 5 of Matthew 13. And in this verse, guess what Jesus said? You are the salt of the earth. If you don't mind, if you just look, Andy, you are salt on earth. Go ahead and share that with your friends or share it with that beautiful girl there. Tell her she's salt on earth. Come on, you're salt on. Y'all share. Y'all act like you're at a, you know, frozen Baptist church somewhere. Talk among yourselves a minute. You are salt. This is real. For those of you that have never been to communicative church, welcome. I never did like church where you just sat and stared at the guy that was talking to you. I had questions for that dude and nobody let me ask them during the process. This is a communication event. Watch. God said, you are salt. Reverend Captain Blankenship, he says, you are salt. Those of you in Christ are salt. And where's the location for salt? On earth. Let me tell you, I want y'all to get this today. I want y'all to get this today. Those of you that are so heavenward that you can't understand Jesus, I want you to get this today. Some of our parts of the body of Christ, we talk so much about heaven and we wait for one day, sweet glory, when the good ship, gospel ship comes to get me. You know, until then, I'm going to wear you on these long old days until the glory of God finds my ways. Well, that sounds nice and you can put a good rhythm to it, but that's unbiblical. Jesus says, you are salt. How many of you are glad that God left us here for a reason? I mean, God doesn't want us in heaven just yet. You know how I know? I'm talking to you. But guess what? He says, you are the salt of the... How many of y'all are glad to know that God has put us down here to be the flavor of heaven till he arrives? And he uses the word what, Chris Allen? Salt, not sugar. Because guess what salt does? It enhances flavor. God makes us unique. The grace of God comes into our lives and it brings our full flavor forth. How many of you are glad to be in a church where we got full flavor here? I love it. It's a full flavor church. We got every flavor, and it's kind of like, this is kind of like a chili church. This is chili seed. Any of y'all eat chili? How many of y'all eat chili? You know what I love about chili? You can throw different stuff in there till you get it right. And if you get it wrong for a little while, you just throw some more stuff in there, and eventually it'll change its what? flavor. I like chili. And it's mixed with many. How many of y'all realize that chili has many different ingredients in it? But what's one ingredient it's got in it? Salt. Bringing forth all the flavors. That's what God wants to do at our church, even more so. And today I want to tell you, man, I want you to get this message. I want you to realize you are the salt where? On earth. So quit worrying about when you're leaving and start being the salt of God while you're here. Don't you understand the Bible? And if you don't, we're going to be in it next month, all month long. This is the great news I have to herald today. Jesus came to where? Without that, we're all in a hell of a situation. If heaven hadn't come to earth, if heaven hadn't come down, if heaven hadn't descended into, if God hadn't become a part of us, we are lost without hope. How many of y'all understand that's the message of the gospel? But let me tell you, Dave, here's the glory of God. God sent his son, his salt, into the earth so that we might know the flavor of heaven. Without Jesus, we don't know the flavor of heaven. We're guessing. But with Jesus, we become wise. His salt. That's pretty cool, isn't it? He said, well, why didn't Jesus use sugar? Sugar dissolves, doesn't it? What's the problem with sugar? It wants to take its flavor and dominate. True? How many of y'all even find this? You can throw sugar on stuff that tastes bad, and the stuff that tastes bad will taste good temporarily. Until the sugar wears off of it, then what do you got? Big problems. But salt, what does it really do? It brings out the original flavor. So you know why God is salt? He's wanting to bring what? His righteousness through us, in us, out of us, into the world. Does that make sense to you? His flavor in us, out of us, into where? That's what I wanted to hit you with today. I could stop right here, and if we would just go do this, guess what? The world would get better. But I got to challenge you. Listen, church, I love you, but don't leave it up to somebody else to do it. Don't leave it up to somebody else to do it. Last night, as I was kind of working on his sermon, I was blessed. Clacy came back to be with us. She did come home for Thanksgiving, and we were excited about that. And Clacy, she studies all this chemistry. So I looked at her. I said, Clacy, I got a salt sermon tomorrow. I want to make sure I'm right on this. I know salt's in a wall, but isn't it an individual crystal? She said, you are, Dad. And then she starts giving me the compounds of psylloids and how that breaks. I said, I just want to know, is it in individual little crystals? She goes, yes. I said, for a layman like me, much like little snowflakes. Yes, I said, are all the crystals shaped the same way? She said, no, but they're all individual crystals that mount together, which forms the cellulite, which forms salt. What I'm talking about is everybody has got a piece of this action. Does that make sense? God saves us as an individual and puts us together as a body to become what? Salt. You're the salt on earth. And so guess what? I'm going to suggest this to you. You tell me what you think. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? I think the church has lost a little bit of its saltiness. What do you think? The church in America. I think instead of being salt, probably in the 80s, especially in the early 80s, we kind of turned over to sugary methodologies. I had some of my colleagues in the 80s, they would go, early 80s, they said, well, we want to be friendly to everybody. I said, I don't want to be friendly to everybody. I want to introduce people to Jesus. And they said, well, Pastor Harris, don't you understand? Some people get offended. I said, everybody ought to be offended. I said, if y'all ever read the gospel, here's what Jesus says. Y'all are a bunch of stinking sinners and I'm going to save you. That's kind of like the Harris paraphrased version of the gospel. Well, I mean, how do you preach that in the Susie Sunshine, philosophical, psychology world of you're not a bad person? See, that's where you've been conned. That's where I was conned. That the world's trying to tell me I'm not a bad person. But guess what the reality is? I'm a bad person. Yeah. That's the two arguments today. Yeah. We've all broke the rules. Not some of us. What?
all of us. But we want to say what? Well, Charlie, we do it like this, don't we? I broke this rule, but I didn't break the rule you broke. So I must be one rule better. Isn't that the way we really do it? How many of y'all ever walk across the room and go, well, I'll tell you what, if they're saved, I'm saved because I know they did this, but I didn't do it. Have y'all ever done that? Come on, fess up. How many of y'all ever looked across the room and said, well, I'll tell you what, this church got a bunch of bad people in it. That's why you're here. Join us. We broke the rules and we need something that'll change it. Let me tell you something salt does that we've left out about salt. I want to give you three things that we need to be that I've learned from salt. So think about that, because I figured this week everybody's going to be shaking some salt, right? It's Thanksgiving, and I want to talk. I also want to be very aware, Mr. Gibbs, I'm going to put a warning label on this, okay? Do not overuse this salt sermon, okay? There is hypertension and other things, but what we all, how many of y'all all like a little salt? You got to have a little salt. And God calls us to be salty. He says, what do we do if the salt loses its flavor? Well, guess what? We do what we learn in the Beatitudes. We get honest before God and we mourn and we say, God, I'll tell you what, I want you to be in my life, but because I've become to realize the only way I can be salty is in you. I got to receive you into my life. Some of you today are going to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at the end of this service. And guess what? You get to have a salty Thanksgiving. You can really give thanks. Now I got to thinking about it. When you put us all together, we ought to become Tabasco-like. What do you think? Anybody? I love Tabasco sauce. Anybody love Tabasco? I mean, I love Tabasco. Oh, man. I can put it on anything. I put it on eggs, crackers. How many of y'all have ever put it on pimento cheese? Make your life a new world, I'm telling you. But this time of year, I get cranked up. I think Thanksgiving's a cool holiday because it involves eating a lot of food, watching a lot of football, and not moving much. Three things that I enjoy doing. And I like to get, occasionally we go out in the wild and gather special kind of venison meats, and we turn them into summer sausage. And at Thanksgiving, we bring them out and we cut them in little slices and we have saltine crackers and we lay that on top of that with a piece of cheese with three sprinkles of Tabasco, exactly three drops. And you have to put them in a triangle to make it work just exactly right. And you're sitting there and it's a great day if like Ohio State's being beat as you are biting in to like a cheese and cracker at the same time. You know what I mean? And you're like, ah, it's a great holiday. You know what? How many of us are willing to come together and be the church that becomes hot sauce to the world? Then when people see this group of congregation, they say, wait a minute, God is doing something among them and they had the flavor of heaven in them. I want you to listen to the instructions. As soon as God gets done with this attitude, he says, now you're the salt of the earth. And what are we going to do if the salt loses its flavor? It's not designed to lose its flavor. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled what? Now, what does the world want to do with God's salt? Not only what does it want to do, what is it doing? Yeah, they trample the principles of God. These things don't work. These things don't work. You know why people want to trample the principles of God? They work. But church, here's where we got challenges. We got to be salty. I'm going to ask you all to quit apologizing to the world for having lives that reflect God. I don't apologize when people say, well, do you and Elizabeth think you're better because you stayed married? I said, no, I think that came from the grace of Jesus Christ, and I thank Jesus Christ for it every day because that's where it came from. Oh, Ayers, do you really believe a mythological character? You believe in somebody you can't see? I said, I absolutely do. His name is Jesus. He's crucified and he's risen, and that's what I believe. Now, I said, let me ask you a question. Why do you look at what's going on and then doubt who caused it to happen? And they said, what do you think about my life? I said, your life's sorry. You have a sorry life because you got sorry principles. And I said, and then what ticks me off is you got your sorry life with your sorry principles, and then you want me to pay for your consequences. Now, that's only going to work here for a little while. But there's a final day when you pay for what you chose to be. And I want you to know, nobody gets away with anything. What do you do with salt that loses its flavor? It's trampled. But see, God didn't intend that for his people. He doesn't tell us to be trampled. He tells us to be what? Salty. So I don't know why we spend so much time worried about losing our saltiness. Why don't we put our effort into being what? Salty. What if we were more salty? Not obnoxious. What? Salty. Let me give you three things we ought to become. Number one, we enhance. We enhance the flavor that's going on. How many of y'all enhance? You got holiday coming up, you ought to be enhancing. How many of y'all going to host people at your house? They're coming to your place. You're the grandma, the grandparent, or whatever. You're the children that are hosting. How many of y'all are hosting? You got a chance to enhance this week. How many of y'all going to have family members coming to your house that you don't like? Anybody got that scenario? You're lying if you don't. Let me just help you. They don't like you either. Okay? But guess what? We follow who? Christ, you want to put a salt witness in the world? Even though I don't like you, I can love you in Jesus. That's a salt witness. Even though I don't appreciate the decisions you've made, guess what? This is a salt witness. I'm going to love you in the grace of God. That's the church that needs to be in the world today. Even though I don't agree with you, I'm going to show you the salt of the Lord. Isn't that what Jesus did? Watch this. Jesus didn't agree with any of us and loved us anyway. How did Jesus keep from going crazy? Can you imagine being perfect and living down here? Now, that'll mess you up. Just think, Jesus knew every consequence to every stupid decision that we were making, and he loved us through it. And he said, I've come to give you a new life in spite of the one you're messing up. That's heavy grace. Salt enhances the flavor of life. Check this out. Jesus didn't come to cover you up. He came to enhance who he made you to be. Isn't that neat? So I thought about those little salt crystals. They're all different shapes and sizes, but when they come together, they make salt. When we come together, guess what? We see the salt of the Lord. I am so excited in Hillview. I pray we continue on. I'm glad that not everybody's alike in our congregation. I wouldn't even know what to do now with just a mono, what I call mono congregation. I'm glad we're Baskin Robbins here. Man, we got all the flavors, the colors, the connections. I love eating in people's homes at Hillview because you can get anything. You can go from super spicy to bland. But we all need to be salty. Enhance. You got that, Rock? It enhances. Let's enhance the world with the grace of God. You're the salt of the what? Earth. This salt needs to be delivered down here. Make sense? It's God's prayer. It's Jesus' prayer. May the will of heaven be done where? On earth. What did Jesus do? He brought the will of heaven and placed it where? Come on, follow me, guys. Where? Earth. On earth. So in a real way, we got to get out of this pie in the sky kind of religion and say, wait a minute. I want to be an enhancer of Christ here on earth. This stuff works on earth. How many are glad to know grace works on earth? Forgiveness works on earth. Love works on earth. You better be glad about that. Y'all be thankful about that. God, thank you for loving me. Number two, we need to preserve God's truth. God's truth is worth preserving in our lives. What does salt do? It preserves. There's another delicacy, holiday delicacy that I enjoy. If I'm not your pastor much longer because of a heart attack, you all should be fully aware why this happened. Things I enjoy. We have a ham, especially in Kentucky, and what's it called? Country. How many of y'all like country ham? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I tell all my Jewish friends, I said, you'd love Jesus if you had sliced this country ham. Y'all don't know what you're missing. I hope you get some in heaven, all right? I love country ham, but well, what is it preserved with? Salt. Back in the olden time when we didn't have refrigeration, which wasn't that long ago, we would preserve the meat with what? Salt. Meat has been preserved with salt for many millenniums. And here in Kentucky, we take those hams and we salt them and we cure them. And then come Christmas morning. How many of y'all Christmas morning, that's one of your Christmas morning traditions, is country ham and biscuit. Oh! With some of that Mennonite sorghum over top of it. Salt, sugar, and death all in one bite. I'm telling you. But boy, it sure is. But it's salty because it's preserving. Now watch. Church, we have an obligation to preserve God's truth and to share God's truth to the next generation. I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank you for continuing to be that. But I want you to know, here's something else. God's salt in you will preserve you. How long? Come on, brother. How long?
Forever.
I mean, just look over at your worship neighbor and go, forever? Just tell them forever. I mean, that's crazy. Guess what? There's a lot of people in this auditorium today that are forever people. You're forever people. Who gave you your salt? God did. Who keeps you salty? God does. And what does he want us to do? Share that flavor to what? Those that are around us. Thanksgiving's a good time to do that. Man, love your families. Be thankful for your families. Please watch this. Listen, I mean, I don't want to tell you exactly what to do, but listen, embrace your family. Don't miss them to camp out in a parking lot. And people say, are you going to the sale? No, I'm just going to have a salty weekend. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to tell you what, we're all crazy maniacs because we even turn our holidays into extreme activities. Rest. Enjoy. We can get your kids one of them video games later on. They sell them after Christmas cheap. And you don't have to sleep in a tent to get one. I just wonder if we were as committed to getting the world to Jesus as people were to getting $5 off on a TV, I wonder what it'd look like. You know, I've never had anybody camp out in a church parking lot waiting to get in on Sunday morning to see Jesus. And we got the greatest message of all. Go tell people about it. Preserve it. Man, I believe it works. What do you think? I believe it works, man. This stuff works. I wouldn't preach if it didn't work. I wouldn't preach if it didn't work. Lives are changed, enhanced, preserved. And then another thing that salt does, and nobody wants to see this about salt, but guess what? It heals. Three things that we ought to be about. First of all, we enhance the flavor of the world in Jesus Christ. Salt, Shelley, on earth at Greenwood High School. You salt it. When you're doing your drum thing, your band major thing, you start stepping it out there on that field. Well, there's a salty girl. Jesus made her salty. Mark Spicozzi, when you're in the library of a higher academic institution, and does academics, high-level academics today, accept Jesus Christ principles? Oh, no, they're outdated. They're mythology. In the academic world, we become so sophisticated that we have now become smarter than God. Yeah, we've had those folks before. They called it the Tower of Babel. We've had those folks all along that are smarter than God. Here's what gets me. Why do people... Do you all ever look at the people that the world listens to? Do you ever look at their lives? Do you ever see what they're about? Why do you listen to them? Do you notice one of the common themes that I see with all the great people that give everybody else advice? They can't hold relationship in their own life. But yeah, they want to tell the world how to relate. And the reason relationships are tough for people without Jesus is because the thing that requires relationships to work is healing. True? How many of y'all found if you're going to stay married for a long time, you better learn how to forgive one another. If you're going to raise your kids in a way from the Lord, man, you're going to have to be patient. Amen? How many of y'all find you tell kids what to do and they do the opposite thing? How many of y'all have discovered that yet? I know some of y'all got sweet, precious children. Believe me, we know them. They act a lot like our moms and dads. They're human beings that need the salt of God. They need to be healed. Now think about this. Salt was also used as some of the doctors and medical community will know this, as a healing agent. I mean, I've ever heard this old saying, salt in the wound. Why did you put salt in a wound? Sheriff, you remember that? You're old enough to remember that. You've heard that, haven't you? Out in the country, old farmer, you nick yourself baling hay or something, you'd say what? Put salt in it. It'll what? Heal it. Cure it. Now, it's also cheap medical care cost. You don't have to go to the emergency room. Just get you some Mortons and throw on there. You'll be all right in a few days. Did y'all realize that used to be health care? My grandfather, they came out of the mountains. They believed turpentine healed everything. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that. Did y'all ever see that movie, My Big Greek Wedding? Remember the father? Yeah, he believed Windex healed everything, you know, and he'd get a cut, he'd spray Windex on it. Do not go home and do that, okay? Yeah, they put turpentine on the cut. They put salt in a wound because it was what? Healed. You know why we can be salty? We know the saltiest guy around. Jesus. And he tells us to be salt before he makes us salt. Isn't that interesting? I've come to make you salty. So what do you do if you've lost your salt? What do you do if you've lost your flavor? You come to Jesus and say, what? Make me salty. He's the only one that can. Isn't that neat? So church, I'm going to push this. I'm going to tell us, Alex, we've got to step it up. Alex, you're a soldier, you're a warrior. Can you go to war on sugar? What happens if you go to the lines being sugar people? You won't come back. You'll melt. What does sugar do? Melt. What does salt do? Preserves. It enhances. It heals. Let's be a salty church. Or for you guys, let's continue to be salty. Amen? Now be careful. The ways of this world don't last long. So don't worry about many of them too long. How many of y'all found this? Whatever idea we have is not going to work very long. How many of y'all have noticed this in your house? What used to be cool is now called antique. That can be said about you also. How many of you used to be cool and now your kids have called you a nerd? How many of y'all have this problem? Your grandchildren and your children call some of the coolest music ever oldies. So you know life's changed when you're listening to oldies and you think that's still hip. By the way, the 80s are over. The music was awesome. But they're what? Older. If you have a disco shirt and you wear that out in public, you should be arrested. But at one time that was cool. How many of y'all have ever had this experience happen? Your kids went and got your yearbook and opened it up. My daughter, who's a very critical individual and needs to be salted much, opened the page of my yearbook, and there I was, and she said, Dad, how Mom ever went out with you, I will never know. I said, Clayson, you need to understand. I understand that you lack all kinds of understanding, that in your soft, sugar-filled, temporary, styrofoam generation, you all had no idea of realistic cool. And I understand when you look at your father's high school picture, there's so much cool there, you can't even comprehend it. That's what I had to tell her. I had to explain it to her. I said, that era is beyond your comprehension. I said, that's an era when a car was a car, when engines were in cars, when cool radios were Radio Shack 100 watts, which really wasn't 100 watts, and they had lights all up on the front of them that blinked and stuff. Since it didn't have 100 watts, they thought if they put lights that blinked a whole lot, we thought it made the music louder. And I remember the time that I installed 6x9 Jensen speakers, 100 watts. Kurt, 100 watts. Radio Shack amplifier. We went down there to Getty's. And I turned ZZ Top up. She got legs on full volume. I was salty. That era's over. I mean, think about this for a minute. If I was talking about 6x9 speakers, what would people know? Like, I'm really old. But God's not called me to be old. He's called me to be what? And there's some things that never go away. The cross and resurrection never go away. The love of Jesus, it never goes away. Jesus continually making us and remaking us. That never goes away. So he tells us as a church, enhance this earth with my passion and grace. Preserve my teachings. Tell folks the truth. And people get mad at me. Some of you all are mad at me. Some of you all have bought into the buzz sugar of this world. You say, well, Pastor Harris, you made a judgment when you told people they'll go to hell without Jesus. No, I stated you the words of God. And here's what's so sad. You would rather be mad at me than tell your friends who don't know Jesus about him. How sad is that? Let's talk about sad. They're sad. I had somebody mad at me 3 weeks ago. Imagine that. They met me in the parking lot and they said, all you talk about is people getting saved. And I said, well, I hope it happens to you one day. They said, I've been saved for 40 years. I said, yeah, and look at your life. You've been saved for 40 years and not one person's come to know Christ because you claim salvation. Then he went from mad at me to another word that describes anger. You know why? I shook his fig tree and there were no figs. You know what you do when you shake your tree and there are no figs? I'd say, Lord Jesus, make me salty. And use my life to enhance, to preserve, and to heal. You think he'd answer that prayer? Try that one. We always got these prayers. Don't you know God gets tired of hearing Americans pray? We got one prayer. Help me, help me, help me. We think he's Santa Claus. How many of y'all pray wanting something else? If I was God, I'd say, use what I've given you. You haven't done anything with it yet. You haven't even done anything with the power of the Holy Spirit. You haven't done anything with the precious grace that I've given you. Get that, and then I'll give you some more. And they said, well, Lord, I read that prayer of Jabez. I need my territory expanded. He said, I've looked at a lot of y'all. Y'all need your territory shrunk. Because all you do is want more for the sake of more. And you never enhance, you never preserve, and you never heal what's right in front of you. I bet everybody's got a chance to enhance, preserve, and heal this coming weekend. Yeah? Oh, don't you hate it when sermons don't have altar calls? They have realistic endings. Bless your family this weekend. They'll be there. Even the aunts you don't like. They always come. They never miss. How many of you know the people that irritate you in your family are always there? The ones you want to be with, they got to go other places sometimes. Yeah, they arrive early and stay what? Y'all must have the same one I got. Now, I'm just telling you, all right? But guess what? And I'm sure I'm aware enough that when I come in, especially on Elizabeth's side of the family, I might irritate a couple of folks over there. I might even confess to you, I do it intentionally sometimes just to kind of bring some holiday cheer in. In fact, it was awful. One Christmas, my father looked at me and said, I got to ask a favor for you this Christmas. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm not asking the impossible. I'm just asking for a delay. I said, what is it? He said, would you wait to after dinner before you say something to your baby sister that will end up in a argument? I looked at my dad, I pat him on the shoulder, and I said, Merry Christmas, Pops. I can wait to after dinner, but I can't guarantee before dessert. It's just too irresistible. Yeah, it's part of life. Enhance what? Preserve and heal. God is in us. His name is Jesus. You say, well, what do I do if I'm not salty? Here's what I would do. I would say, Lord Jesus Christ, I realize I've sinned. I have sinned. I've done some things that are wrong. How many of y'all are that far along? Okay, you can't get healed. You can't get salt in the wound till what? I mean, really, everybody's done something wrong. How many of y'all realize everybody's done something wrong? And the reason I preach is some of y'all are thinking right now, well, I've looked across this room and I know so-and-so, I ain't done that. But you've done something else that keeps you out of the kingdom of heaven. When God said he wanted to heal all sin, he didn't say some sin. He meant yours, your neighbor's, and everybody else's. So today, guess what? I got beautiful news. There are going to be some people that get to really have Thanksgiving this weekend. Some of you today, if you'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what you can say on Thanksgiving morning? Lord, thank you for forgiving me of my sin, bringing your enhancement, your truth, your preservation into my life, so that I might be healed of my sin, forgiven, and be able to live a brand new life. Do you all know what? Best Buy doesn't have a deal like that. All they're going to do is give you $10 off on TV. And then they're going to make that up because they're going to charge you for a warranty. And you're going to go camp in a parking lot to get some of that. And here today, Jesus Christ said, I'll forgive anybody that will repent. Whosoever believes shall what? Live. Now, for those of us that are believing, Raj, thanks for being salt, man. You're salty. When I look at Raj, that's a salty dog. Raj has got a few decades on him. You know where I see him? Not at the nursing home. The gym. He'll do like 1,000 of these reps right here. Looking at people, guess what he always does? He's always cheerful in the morning. That takes Jesus. I don't wake up cheerful. Apparently Raj does. You know what he becomes in my mornings? A salt reminder. Heirs, be salt. Well, Lord, I don't feel good. I don't care how you feel. I care that you're salty. I care that you represent who I've made you to be. Make sense? Kurt, does that make sense? You're salty. When you're out there selling, you're salty. Guess what salt is? Honesty. You'll be a radical salesperson? Be honest. You want to take it to another level? Make sure you honor everything you promise. Guess what that's called? Salty. Y'all say, oh, Pastor Ayers, you're so old-fashioned. Nobody does that anymore. Listen, we live in a world that accepts people telling you stuff, and you know they're never going to do it, and you buy them anyway. You know why? I'm afraid when God looks at the American church, he sees one giant plastic pixie stick. Sweet and nice, dissolves instantly, flavor doesn't last long, and he's looking for salt. Those who will be enhanced by his grace, preserved by his truth, and healed by his mercy. Will you receive him? Amen. Let's stand together. All right, first, BJ, what a wonderful song Jesus Christ gave you. Amen. From a class. God spoke in academia. Praise be unto his name. Look, today, as you come today, listen, some of you have been led by the Lord to receive Christ. Let's really be thankful, man. I hope you get made salty today. Number two, some of you need to be confessional in baptism and say, you know what? I want to confess the Lord has forgiven me of my sin. I want to go under that water. I want to testify that what I used to be is gone. And I'm risen now. Salt and hot sauce to the world. To bring the flavor of God to earth. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all do that this week? The flavor of God. Flavor of heaven to earth. Also, I got to ask you from my heart, if you don't mind. And I need some people praying at the altar today, so please don't stand and stare. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I don't care what your Middle East politics are in. Israel is in some heated moment right now. I just want you to pray that God protect. He tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He doesn't give it any more than that. He just says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So as believers in Jesus Christ, can we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Because it's not peaceful. And I don't care what your politics are. I promise you, if Franklin had delivered 250 bombs on us in the last 36 hours, nobody in this room would be very happy. And since I went to school with several of you, I know what we would be doing this morning. You be very careful. I'm just warning you. You believe what you want to believe. You'll see what happens. I wouldn't turn against Israel. And that may be popular and it may be really cool and you seem all in groove and universal and MTV may turn against Jerusalem, but I think I would evaluate what MTV's really all about. And Jon Stewart might be funny and cute, but I think I'd read that Word of God and see what that's all about. And all the news media of today with all their personalities and celebrities, I want you to know that every one of those people are going to die, and 3 days later, they'll still be dead as a doornail. So you better listen to the salt of the earth. His name is Jesus. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray they be protected. If those were my babies, I'd be praying. It's real. It's the real world we live in. So pray for the peace. But you know what I pray for? That they'll see salty people, that they might know the Messiah is who he says he is. They just might not. But we got to be, we got to be like who made us salty for people to know him. So come and pray that today, okay? Lord, those that have been drawn by grace to salvation right now, Lord, may all fear be gone and may repentance begin. May you tell them, Lord Jesus, may they hear in their hearts. If you never prayed this to God, pray it to God. Dear God, forgive me of my sin. I am more than sorry for where I've been. Lord, I need to be saved and I need to be made salty. Lord, come into my life and forgive me. He'll do it. Just let him take it from there. If you've never been baptized and you know Christ is in your life, it's time to be committed. It's time to be honest. It's time to follow Christ. Come and let's get that baptism lined up. Today, let's pray for the peace of Israel. Lord, I just pray right now with this congregation that you've put us together, Lord. And we pray on this side of the world that there be peace. Lord, that you work against evil strategy and death. Lord, that you protect your children. You protect the house of Israel. You protect Jerusalem, just like you say you will do it in the scripture, Lord. We pray that it be done. But Lord, I pray that we would wake up. You also call your church to wake up. God, I pray right now that we would wake up to the spiritual realities in our moment of time. And we would follow you faithfully, week in, week out, day by day, Lord, being salt and light to the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now will you come? I don't know what time it is. I don't care what time it is. It's time for several of you right now to be saved. It's time for others of you to come and be committed to baptism. It's time for many of us to come and pray and ask God to heal our land, heal our people, love people, pray for your families that'll be with you here in Thanksgiving, that they may taste the flavor of a life filled with Jesus. Come on, church. Come on, church, right now. Come on, as you come, may the Lord bless you. Just let him bless you right now. Thank you. Come on. Just let him bless you right now. Come on. Come on. Come on.